Whatsoever I have done unto the least of them, so have I done unto thee. Read it with pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter any sort of trial, sure that the sterling temper of your faith produces endurance. Only let your endurance be a finished product. James 1:2-4. That is a wonderful instruction from James to us. To notice clearly that when we encounter any sort of trial, to greet it with pure joy. Perhaps it hasn't struck you forcibly enough, because most people, when they encounter a trial, they do not greet it with joy, but greet it with sorrow, with fear, and all these things that cause trouble in the mind of man. So James shows here that in our daily lives, he is telling us clearly to prevent us from having heartache, stomachache, indigestion, and all these other things that is caused by fear, anxiety, when we encounter any trial. Again he says, only let your endurance be a finished product. That is, to endure the thing to the end. Then when your endurance is complete, you are complete with it. Isaiah says, put heart into the listless, brace all weak-kneed souls. Tell men with fluttering hearts, have courage, never fear. It's Isaiah 35:3-4. Now, when we go to the Bible and we look at some of these sayings of the prophets, we begin to realize the wonderful truth that is behind the sayings of these men. Now, I want you to realize that there were many books besides the Bible that were written at that time. The Book of Enoch, for instance, was written early before the New Testament, which was in circulation at the time when Christ was on earth. Jesus was teaching in Jerusalem. And in this book, you will see a lot of prophecies regarding the Messiah that was to come. And these books were written by men, just the same as the Bible and all the books in the Bible were written by men. We call them prophets, Isaiah and Moses and so forth. They were inspired men, as we know, but nevertheless, their inspiration is always tinged by the personality of the individual who is writing. So you see, in the Old Testament, you will read a lot of material about the tribes of Israel and so forth, and all about the wars of Israel, and you will see this is a history of tribes that came down through the ages. And we must take out of that all that is worthwhile so that we ourselves can use it in our daily lives. It is my desire that you should get the most out of these lessons, and you can achieve wonders with a deep desire to learn all you can about human nature by discerning your own thoughts and actions. This will increase your ability to deal effectively with people. By doing this, you will enrich your own personal power will increase happiness, while your success lies in being able to understand others. If you are not able to understand yourself, it is probably you will not be able to understand other people. But when you do begin to understand your own thoughts and your actions, you are on the right road to success. Therefore, it is necessary to think deeply, to get under what we call the superficial layer of consciousness into the deeper layers of consciousness, so that we will discern the way to solve our problems with wisdom and love. Read each lesson carefully and mark the passages that make a deep impression upon you and go back over them. Skimming through the lesson will not suffice. If you have a feeling that I am just teaching you, you will never learn. Learning is an active process within yourself. You learn by doing. You must master the principles explained in these lessons through relaxation, divine reasoning, and doing. Doing is the final act that makes you complete, and the knowledge that you use sticks to you. Knowledge that is not used fades away from. So, again I say, that learning is an active process within the individual himself or herself. If you just listen and think that I am teaching, then you will never grasp the great significance of that inward completeness, that tremendous and wonderful thing that no one knows, but we are aware of. And when you begin to discern your own thoughts, you can dissolve these away. You can know them and understand them. You can know also the motive behind them. Why you think those thoughts? The motive behind your thoughts. Remember, that's a most important point in these lessons. Remember, it's easier to criticize and condemn than to understand the other person's point of view. It's easier to find fault than praise. It's easier to talk about what you want than what the other person wants. How easy it is to criticize. How easy it is to condemn. And why do we condemn? Is it not to exalt our own ego? Or to feel that others are just as bad as we are ourselves? And we're quite happy when we feel that that is so. Why don't we praise more? Because we have got so many faults in ourselves that we see them mirrored in other people. And it is very true, the saying is, what you see in others is deeply rooted in yourself. Therefore, it's necessary to discern your thinking. That frees you from fear, frees you from want, frees you from anxiety, frees you from all these things that tug at your heart and your mind. In occupational therapeutics, you must form new habits that lead to a better way of living. This requires patience and application of oneself to the principles underlying this great work. Make a daily practice of reviewing your context and see what mistakes you made. Why did you not help so-and-so? Why did you say so and so? Think over your interviews, your discussions, and see how you can improve your daily actions. Register what lessons you learn from your experiences. You'll be astonished at first at your carelessness, your negligence, your blindness. If you can see your carelessness, your blindness, your negligence, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your anxiety, no matter what it is, then you'll be looking at them external to yourself. You will see them for what they are. You will notice that you are different, that you have separated yourself from them and you're not caught up in them. You're not caught up in the whirlpool of your emotion, the whirlpool of your negative thinking. Most people are caught up in the whirlpool of their own thinking in the mind, and they keep on going round and round and round. And it is not until you see what you are doing can you escape these things. It is very necessary that you discern these things clearly and distinctly. Then you will solve them. Not by the superficial layer of consciousness, but you will solve them only through the deeper layer of consciousness. That deeper layer of consciousness which enables you to dissolve, because there is understanding and love. Do not excuse yourself. That is fatal to your progress. You must admit your mistakes with frankness and unreserved sincerity. You have never been told these things before, because you've always been told the rosy things. To concentrate on this rosy thing and this rosy other thing. But when you concentrate on these rosy things, you create the very opposite. The more you concentrate upon the rosy side of life, the more difficult it will become for you. What is necessary is to discern the things that are hindering your progress, so you can free yourself from them, not be caught up in them. Because every time you think of that rosy thing, you're caught up in these things that are hindering you, because you have not discerned them. Surely you can understand how clear this is to the mind that understands. Then you will find yourself engaged in a self-educational process that is both inspiring and priceless, which leads you to your true freedom. As this freedom comes, you will increase your ability to meet people, to deal with people, to help people. You will grow and expand your influence in all spheres of life. Ask yourself how best you can apply yourself. Make a game out of your work and play. Forget yourself and think of others, and you will do more good in a few weeks by becoming interested in others than you would in years trying to get others interested in you. I am not here just to give you fine words. You are students of the highest nature. Students that want to go forward, students that are going to be the backbone of a real education, because you'll be able to show others the way. And if I talk fine words to you, and tell you how beautiful you are, and how lovely you are, how good you are. What good is that going to do you? To inflate your ego like a tire that soon may have a puncture and becomes flat again? No. I'm here to show you distinctly and clearly a way out of your difficulties, to solve. And there is something deep within each and every one of us that is unknown, but real. And that reality can only be found as we discern all these things that are hindering the expression of it. So it is, do not excuse yourselves. That is fatal to your progress. You will never blunder when you are truly interested in others, but you will make plenty of blunders if you try to make others interested in you. Remember, most people in this world are interested in themselves, and your interest in them makes the wheels of intercourse move in oil instead of grit. Listen carefully to other people's conversation, and you will find that it is dotted with I this, I that, I the other thing. Everything moves round themselves. Everyone is interested in themselves. As students of the highest possible nature, you have to see what the man Jesus stood for. He was never interested in himself, but interested in everyone, interested in humanity. And he was bold and strong in regard to it. So when you know that everyone is interested in themselves, you can easily be interested in other people, because you will find the fields of intercourse moves in oil instead of grit. Remember, these are the majority, the people who do not know. Yet this is the way you can make friends. Play the game of life rapidly with all shades and types of people. Make the other fellow happy, and you are in the driver's seat to successful living. This is occupational therapy in its finest form. If you can lift the other person, if you can help them do so. The individual that is wrapped up in himself or herself, the individual that is not interested in others, these are the individuals that have the greatest difficulties in life and do the most injury to others. Look around and you will see that it is in this group that nearly all human failures occur. And if you feel that you are in this group, it is necessary that you think it out clearly and discern the fact, so that by doing so, you will dispense with the hindrances that express that real. In your first lesson in occupational therapy, if you want success, is to become interested in people, then you forget yourself. This one principle, you increase your own true personality. You can put yourself across, as the saying goes, decide to give others the best you possibly can. This principle never fails. It never has failed, and never will, because it is the fundamental law of life itself. Why is it then the fundamental law of life? Because life is always expressing itself the best it possibly can in every human being. Its desire is to increase its expression in every living soul. If you can then help in this way, you are in with life. Life will carry you along. And not until you recognize life in its clearness, in its true state, as the source of all things, that which is within me, that which is unknown, yet I am aware of it. I become aware of myself, lost in that which is unknown. When I come before you, I say to myself, I love you all, every one of you individually and collectively. This can be applied to every calling in life, no matter in what capacity you are engaged. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return 100-fold. You will gain more confidence by learning to relax. Remember what I told you before, in other words, your brain and body is stimulated through relaxation. Let me remind you again how you should practice general relaxation. Perhaps the majority of you have not recognized the great effect of relaxation and the great power relaxation has upon the nerves of the body and the brain. Relaxation takes the brakes off. That's the first thing we must know. But ordinary lying down and resting is of no value, because you must consciously take the tension off your limbs, your arms, and your body, so that any misbehavior that is caused by this tension in the cerebellum will be free. Relaxation alone is only one pillar. Then comes divine reasoning, knowing that the Father within is doing the work. He is healing. He is charging you with life energy. Lie on your couch, allowing your whole weight to be evenly distributed. Do not try to relax. This only brings up the opposite tension. Just talk quietly to your arms, legs. Relax, let go, relax, let go, and nature does the rest. Gradually your muscle tensions disappear and a new life begins to form before you. Every opportunity that I get, I relax. This is very easy. Take the tension off the limbs, body. Quietly go into that particular state of consciousness where you feel your oneness with that which is reality. Then you feel a surge of life flowing through. Peace, harmony. Your mind becomes at rest through divine reason. That is, you reason with yourself, such as this. God is infinite in nature. Sure, He is infinite. Well, I cannot be outside Him. I must be within Him. And if He's infinite, the life in me must be His life also. I never thought of this before, you will say to yourself. How wonderful it is. Then you say, why, the very substance my body is made of is substance. The very consciousness that I speak with, I talk with, I use, must be his consciousness. Otherwise he could not be infinite. I cannot be separated from him in any way whatsoever. If I was, I could not be infinite. And you reason this way. God could not be infinite if I was in any way separated from him. And you say, goodness gracious me, now I see what the Master meant when he said, I and the Father are one. I see now what he meant when he said, know you not I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And then you will say to yourself, also, yes, it's the Father within me that doeth the work. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Then you reason and you begin to come free. And you find that most of your troubles have disappeared. Divine reasoning elevates the mind. This awareness, which you cannot explain, but you can only know yourself, aware, alive, living. No one can explain it. I cannot explain it. I can only experience it, and you also can only experience it, but to try and explain it to another, it is utterly impossible. You find it yourself. But you will find it through divine reasoning. Because when you carry your divine reasoning to the final completeness of that which is possible in your mind, then you see what is reason. I myself. God grant you to find this too, very soon. But I am showing you the way that you can apply, that you can reach. By doing so, you will never be the same again. Wasn't it Jacob wrestled with the angel? Good. He said, I shall not let you go until you bless me. Why was he wrestling with the angel? Because he was afraid of the evil. Why was he holding to good? Because he was afraid of the evil. He wanted to escape it. But when he saw the great truth, that in God there is no good or evil, he was free. There was no longer any struggle. And it is said that the angel touched him on the thigh, and he was then lame, different to other men. He was then different to other men. Why? That is symbolic. The symbolism means that when he recognized the complete truth, therefore he was changed man. He did not think of the good nor the evil. He was free. That's why he was different. And you will also find that you will be different because you will free yourselves from the fear of evil and the struggling for good. You will be there in that where there is neither good nor evil. Freedom comes through this recognition, through this realization of truth, and you find it in yourself. So Jacob was changed man. Also remember, no strong suggestion must be given. You cannot release your tensions this way. You only increase them. The change from self-hypnosis to self-control comes about gradually. because you are already self-hypnotized. Therefore, it comes gradually. The fact that you are only able to relax your arms and legs, you have already changed the course of events in your life. And as further relaxation comes, so do you de-hypnotize yourself and free yourself from your self-imposed inhibitions. You are moving in the right direction now, and this knowledge will help you greatly to further free yourself from these crippling inhibitions which have been self-imposed. And to me, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to see that life is eternal. Also that you who leave the physical body will carry with you your experiences. But you will be freed from all the infirmities, free from all your inferiorities and superiorities. You will be like Moses when Jesus spoke to him 2,000 years after he had passed. You will be as Jesus is today, 2,000 years after he has passed. And I say this, if these infirmities do not exist in the real world in which you live, why should they exist in this world, which is the world of illusion, which you create yourselves? Think deeply about it and you will see that the mind of man and disease is not separate at all. They're one and the same thing. Because you can't have disease unless it's in the mind. But there is an intelligence that is above mind of man that created him in the real world in which he lives. Therefore I say to you, I am not of this world. I am of the world that Jesus knew that he was of. But he said, I am not of this world. But neither am I, and neither are you, when you will realize the truth of it. Yes, you have not yet recognized the power of the creative principle that is in you. I often find my mind wandering also into the world of illusion, but I begin to discern my thoughts. I begin to look at them, and I see them for what they are. Then I'm freed from them. I'm not caught up in the whirlpool of emotion, envy, sickness, fear, anxiety. Some people think that I am cold and callous. I am not cold and callous. I am full of love of God for Israel. I feel deeply in myself for others. But at the same time, I see that these conditions are not real. They have no existence in God. You have set in motion forces within yourself that are stabilizing, that make for health, mind and body, which leads to healthy living. Your nervousness disappears, and you will begin to do things because you are becoming free. This method is much more scientific and realistic than the old-fashioned process of psychoanalysis. Self-analysis comes naturally, and there is a glorious release of those tensions that heretofore cramped your style. as progressive relaxation moves on, you begin to apply yourself. Thus the nagging impulses that come from limb, body, viscera are diminished. The body stops talking back to the mind, so the mind talks to the body. And as those freezing inhibitions are removed, so the brain centers function freely. When this process of adjustment is taking place, strong suggestions should be avoided, for this often sets the victim back on his old tracks. It's the easy moving, flowing forward, releasing the self-hypnosis into self-control comes through easy stages. Do not be pressed in any way whatsoever if you find yourself going back sometimes. You will know the cause of it. Set your mind and you will see how anxious you were, how you feel you have been frustrated, you've been let down, and so forth. And you suggest to yourself all these things, with the result you're back in your old track once. Far better to allow the natural adjustment to take place. And when we take off the brakes, God does the work. Thus the entire brain is set free to function as one unit, free from habitual inhibitions that strangle the individual. Therefore, progressive relaxation and occupational therapy are linked in the chain that leads to successful living, and as the mind becomes free, it can be trained to think in the right direction. But not until it is freed can you think in the right direction. And only a knowledge of the self would enable you to think rightly. Knowledge of the self comes through discernment, not what we call introspection, but discernment of your thoughts, the movements in your mind. Introspection is negative. Discerning is positive. By introspection, you're caught up in yourself. By discerning, you are seeing. In my last lesson, I made it plain to you that you and the lie of life is independent of your mind and body. These are your instruments through which you manifest. Your body changes, your mind changes, but the life I am remains the same, because it is the great I am manifesting itself in individuality. God has personified himself. God has individualized himself. I am the personification of that spirit. I am the individualization of that spirit. Therefore, I am in no way separated from you, because you are exactly the same. Therefore, the practical work in this lesson is to analyze the not I things, till you come to the realization that your body is your instrument, that your mind is your instrument, and in the degree in which you realize this, you will have control. Realization brings control, and control brings results. Those highly developed in this realization have obtained a wonderful degree of power and control over the forces of nature. They are as gods compared with the ordinary man. Therefore it is the practical way to analyze the not I think. And everything you can analyze, you will see it is not I, but you will see it is things which you can use, direct. You can analyze your mind, your thoughts, your body, everything. You can analyze everything external to the self. Then you will find they are not I things. So this is the second step you must take in your successful living. Remember, the I am is manifesting itself in power and intelligence. And this power and intelligence can be used to manipulate, guide, govern, and direct the mind through which control of the physical world is obtained. Next week, the practical work will be to cleanse the mind so that the I am can focus its power through it, so as to gain the desired results. Therefore, analyze the not-I thing. Make it a practice tonight and see how wonderful it is. Then you will not be caught up in them. You will not be affected by them. You will no longer fear them, but you will become master. We must realize that which is the greatest within us. The Master said, it is the Father whoever remaineth within me doeth the work. So the secret of power is to rely on the greatest. That which is greater within. When you reach that consciousness, you become aware of the self. That consciousness that most people sometimes become aware of. But that step further is required to go beyond the self so that the self is lost completely in the greater. Then the greater becomes the expression through you, as it was through the Master, Jesus. It's the Father, whoever remaineth within me, he is performing his own deeds. Thus we become greater by operating the law pertaining to the greater. So the least you do into one of these, so you do unto me. The supreme power is equal to any emergency. We consciously may not know how to solve our problem, but when we refer to that which is greater, the all-knowing intelligence comes into action. In this way we gain calm, faithful attitude towards all things, and the greater becomes the servant of all. The Father doeth the work. Greet it with pure joy, my brethren. When you encounter any sort of trial, sure that the sterling temper of your faith produces endurance. Only let your endurance be a finished product. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. Luke 20. What a wonderful truth this is, that we cannot really fathom it until we know the real world in which we live. I am not of this world. I am of the world where Christ lives. I am of the world where Moses dwells, where Elijah dwells. I am of the world of Those that can never die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. Benediction. Dearly beloved, this is my celestial song. I come to thee as I see myself in others. Whatever treasure lies in my soul, I will share with thee as I help others. Whatever I have done unto the least of them, I have done unto thee. Whatever is mine, that also is thine. My cup is overflowing with all thy bounties. When I do honor to myself in others, I do honor thee. Thou art my delight, O beloved.